Let's take our Bibles, and for our scripture reading, let's turn to Mark chapter 7. Here we see just how the religious leaders of the day and their self-righteousness and traditions opposed him who is the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not much has changed. We have many, many people that profess to be God's children, and yet it's based upon them making them acceptable to God rather than in through by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And so we see this contrast between the Pharisees of the day that held to their traditions, and then toward the end of the chapter, this one Syrophoenician woman that came to the Lord having nothing and cried unto him for mercy, and the Lord heard her. He is the mercy seat, and there's mercy nowhere else. But here in verse 1 of chapter 7, Mark, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. Now it's interesting, it says they came together unto him, but they weren't drawn by the Spirit to him to worship him. They came with self-motive. And that truly can be said of many today who say they come for worship, and yet they know nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's grace in him. And here particularly, we see why they came together, because when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Now, we were all taught from our childhood up, make sure you wash your hands before you eat. But that's not the sense here. This had to do with a very ceremonial way that they had in their tradition of washing their hands to purify themselves of the defilement of actually being in the world. Their idea was that material was evil, although they didn't consider their material goods to be evil, but the world being evil. And therein was the lie that somehow they were pure and the world was evil. So they had to go through this ceremony before eating. It says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. So that's an important thing, that throughout the day, they always felt like they had to stop and purify themselves whenever they were in a situation that they felt would defile them. And especially in verse 4, it says, when they come from the market. So there they'd gone to do business at the market and had to deal with all kinds of people. And for them, particularly Gentiles, because they were the merchandisers. But having dealt with them, they had to wash before they could eat. And many other things there be. You can look this up online and see there were 635 some traditions that they had in addition to the Old Testament scriptures that were interpretations of the law and purifications. It says many other things there be which they have received, or they receive them from men, traditions of men, to hold, even down to the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, and this exposed their true heart, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? I liken this to people that go back to the Old Testament to pull up laws and ask you, well, how come you're violating this law? How come you're violating that law? As if somehow by their keeping of the law, and here it wasn't even the law, it was the tradition of elders, interpretations of the law, that they were questioning our Lord. Now, they were questioning the disciples, but in actuality, they were aiming at our Lord, because these are your disciples and this is how you're teaching them. I liken again to people today that have these standards, and they will blame the preacher for not teaching the people their standards. Touch not, taste not, handle not, all these things. And our Lord answered and said unto them, again, we find an example of Christ is here, a clear demonstration of how those that would question us about our faith or how it is we live our lives under the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, what did our Lord do? He went to the Scriptures. That's all we do. We go to the Scriptures. Don't try to answer their arguments. He said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You stop and think about what that verse 7 is saying. In vain do they worship. Anything that is not for the glory of Christ alone. And notice he says, in vain do they worship me. So he is quoting this scripture, even as pertaining to himself. Because their question is, why don't you teach your disciples? In vain do they worship me. He's declaring himself to be the object of worship. But anything other than for the glory and honor of Christ because of his shed blood is teaching for doctrines. There it is in the plural. Whenever in Scripture you see doctrine in the plural, it always has to do with false doctrine. Doctrines, the commandments of men. And here's what such do, laying aside the commandment of God. Stop and think about the commandment of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation is to hear his Son. It's all about worshiping him through his Son. But laying that aside, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. That's like preachers that give people things to do to become more sanctified. How to stay pure. Have you heard those kinds of lessons and messages? How to stay pure in an evil world? As if the world out there is evil, but I'm pure, so I've got to maintain this purity. And here's step one, step two, step three. We've all heard that. Nothing new. And he said unto them, full well, see, they were concerned about their teaching, the doctrines, the commandments of men. But Christ says, in so doing, ye reject, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. And that's new with people that, because their heart is far from it, they don't know it, they prefer to continue to follow along the traditions of their denominations and everything that they've been taught than to bow to the truth as it is in Christ. He said, you reject the commandment of God, not the commandments, but the commandment of God, which is what Moses said all the way back there, the Lord will raise up another prophet among you, hear him. The Father, on several occasions, while our Lord walked on this earth, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. But ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. So now he's directing this to these who thought themselves to be somewhat for keeping the commandments. They believe, like many do today, well, I'll do a pretty good job keeping the Ten Commandments. Well, how about this? If ye say, verse 11, but ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban. Now, this was a tradition where if someone's father or mother was sick, if they were called upon to help them in any way, and they had the means to do it, they would actually say Corban, that is to say a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. In other words, if you had a means to help another, but you didn't really want to help them because you harbored some kind of ill will toward them, they would say Corbin. It's like a password, Corbin. What that means is it would be like some saying, well, I can help you, but I got to, this is my tithe. I got, this is reserved for the Lord's work. I can't help you because I've already dedicated this amount of money to, it's a gift. In other words, it's a gift unto God. So they used it as a reason not to help others that were in need. They loved promoting their own wealth, but when it came to the poor and the needy, even down to their own parents, father and mother, they would use this as an excuse not to help. And so our Lord says, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. It was an excuse not to help. In so doing, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. You know, there are many people who call themselves grace believers, and yet they have a hardened attitude toward others. And unless those others line up with their doctrines, then they're not going to deal with it. I'm not going to help. I actually know some that are just that hardened toward, well, those are people of the world. Why should I even be concerned about them? And so, like these, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. So when he is calling the people unto him, he's calling these that were under the teaching of these religious men and were being under bondage. So when he says, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, now he's calling them to himself. What is it that delivers any one of us from tradition but what Christ himself has so dealt graciously in our heart and caused us to see that the wickedness isn't out there, it's in here. And thankfully, he teaches his own. He says here, and in this one statement, the Lord Jesus Christ is completely condemning their religious systems and righteousness. He said, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. I remember the first time the Lord began to teach me this, because I was raised to believe if you put a cigarette to your mouth, you're defiling the Lord's temple. God forbid you'd ever sip any alcohol. I was raised that under that sort of teaching. No, don't let anything in from the outside, because it's going to make you impure. Garbage in, garbage out. How many times do we hear that? But what's wrong with that? That's assuming that everything in here is pure, so don't bring anything in from the outside, which the Lord here completely denounces. He says, nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. Why? Because he's already defiled. We're defiled from the top of our head all the way to the sole of our feet. But the things which come out of him, those are that defile the man. That's what I listen for when people testify of being a child of God, but they're talking about the world being so bad. You hear everybody talking about how bad the world is, and can you believe all this? People talking that way have never seen themselves as they are, depraved, wretched, hell-bound sinners. And that's why the Lord says here in verse 16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Where do the ears come from but the Lord? So he's addressing this not to everybody, but to these of his own that he came to save. And when he was entered into the house with the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Now let's not be hard on the disciples, because just their desire to know and to hear from our Lord exactly what he's saying here shows that already the Spirit of Christ was in them. Else they wouldn't have even cared. And so it goes on, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meat. Anything coming in his body, it's going right on out the other end. And he says that's how God's made the body, to purify itself from things from without. God's made this body to be self-regulating, and serves a purpose to eliminate anything that enters in that might be unhealthy or whatever. The Lord's purposed it to get it on out of there. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. People are more concerned about what's coming in rather than what comes from inside. For from within, out of the heart of men, and there's not one of us. When it's heart of man, it's talking about humankind. So fallen sinners, and there's no distinction. So if you read this and think, oh, that's true, that's how men are out there, but you don't see yourself as implicated, then that just shows how blind you are. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye. These are things in here that men don't even think of. Blasphemy, how about pride? Foolishness. Scripture says even the thought of foolishness is sin. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. What does that say? We're defiled all the time. Whether we run into somebody else we consider defiled or not, we're the defiled ones. We're the ones that need to be like the lepers, beating our chests and crying impure, impure. So here now there's a change, because this is what he was dealing with these self-righteous religious people. And they're all around us. And God forbid we should be swayed by their thinking that somehow we're any better than anybody else. Here it says in verse 24, from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house. Now the Lord never displaced from one place to another, but what it was for the purpose of one of his elect. Here he leaves these self-righteous Pharisees in their darkness and blindness, and comes to this specific house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him. So there again, how is it that any truly come to Christ? Notice the contrast here in verse 25, this woman heard of him in coming to him, and what, falling at his feet, as opposed to these Pharisees back here, that says they came together unto him, but it was for a snare. Here's a woman in need. The woman was, here it is again, a Greek, not even a Jew. A Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Here is these Jews back here that were so caught up with their traditions. They wanted Christ out of their coasts. Here's one where he went and this woman besought him. Why did she beseech him? Because the Lord was drawing her. And Jesus said unto her, verse 27, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. This goes contrary to how most people try to present their Jesus today, that he really is there, and if you'll just take the first step, then, you know, he can help you. He can save you. Here's a woman that came to him, and the Lord, what he's doing is showing her that she's nothing but a dog. But here's how we know that the Spirit of God was already at work in her, because verse 28, he says, and she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. What a testimony that I'm not worthy, but you're the master. Just for but a few crumbs. And he said unto her, and this is a condensed version from what you read over in Luke, but the point is the same. He said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, you see, even there, the Lord didn't require any conditions for him to do his work because she was one of his. He was there to work on her behalf. And when she got to the house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. And then again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impotent in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. So two different types of sinners, but both in need of the Lord's hand, deliverance. And he took him aside from the multitude. Again, the Lord never did anything for the spectacle to be seen of men. He took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. People say, well, couldn't he have just spoken? Yeah, but the Lord determined for his purpose and reason how he was going to deliver these. And looking up to heaven, he sighed. And again, because of the unbelief that was all around. But where does faith originate? It's the Lord giving it. If he but speak the word, if he but give his spirit, if he but grant faith, they'll be healed. So he sighed, which is, again, prayer is not just multiplication of words. Even our Lord teaches us here. It's with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he saith unto him, Phatha, that is, be opened. That's all it took. This is the same Lord that back in Genesis 1:1 we read that he said, let there be light, and there was light. He but spoke the word, be opened. And it says, straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plain. That's an evidence of God's grace. How is it that any of us hear? How is it that any of us can speak to the glory and honor of Christ but what he gives the word? Now it says he charged them that they should tell no man. Again, because the Lord wasn't interested in getting a large multitude around him or just some followers. Here we see him coming specifically, particularly to those that the Father had given him. And it was with them that he dealt. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. How do you stay quiet? We sing that hymn, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And we're beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. That was true physically in his day, but it's true spiritually in our day. How is it that we hear and we speak, but what? He does all things well. We certainly don't deserve it. I trust we never get over the astonishment of who we are by God's grace in Christ. Gracious Father, thank you for your word, how deep and mysterious it is. And yet, when you're pleased to give eyes to see and ears to hear, how glorious Savior, your blessed Son is. So as we've gathered here today, I pray that we would be by your Spirit drawn, not to question or defend or justify any traditions that we have learned, but truly to have ears to hear him and understand that nothing coming in from the outside is what defiles us. We're defiled by nature. We're defiled from birth and how we need the hand of our Savior to deliver it, for him to speak and our ears be opened, eyes caused to see. I pray we never take for granted this word, that whenever we read of it, that indeed we would be astonished by this doctrine that gives Christ all the glory. And if anything, be in wonderment of how it is that he could ever save wretches like we are. But he does so by having come and earned and established that righteousness that you require, that he worked out that you might be a just God and Savior. And so we commend this time to you and pray for your continued blessing and give you the praise, honor, and glory in our Savior's name. Amen.